I would like to start with a sermon illustration with how God laid the message on my heart. I'm going to try it as much as I possibly can to hold my emotions to make it through this today. In December, when I found out that the elders were going to be giving sermons in February, I was in the back on a Sunday morning, and I was feeding this little one. This is my granddaughter's story. And the Lord laid in my heart how she was totally reliant on her parents or grandparents, everybody in her life, to provide food, to provide shelter, comfort, love, and all these things that she needs. And then the Lord laid on my heart how much we rely on Him. And beyond just our, you know, physical attributes as far as needing food, comfort, or shelter, and love. And so I proceeded to build a sermon upon that. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are totally reliant upon You. And as if I have learned more than ever through this sermon, how much I rely upon You and need You. Lord God, I pray that You would pour out Your Holy Spirit upon me to be able to share what You've laid on my heart. May You be glorified and lifted up. In Your precious name I pray. Amen. So I proceeded to dig into Scripture. And, of course, the Lord laid in my heart, might as well start from the beginning, right? So, as it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we're going to discuss the universe. We're going to look at it. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Hebrews 1:1-2. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Psalms 147:4-5. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord, and mighty is His strength. His understanding has no limit. King James, His understanding is infinite. How many times have we, at night looked up at the stars and and looked around at the vastness of what we could just see from here? If you ever get a chance, go online and look at the images from the Hubble Space Telescope, and there's over 213,000 of them. And it's just amazing, some of the things that you could see. So the next thing we're going to talk about is God created the heavens and the earth. So we're going to look at the earth. Genesis 1:9-11-24. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered waters He called seas. And God saw it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures, according to their kinds, living stock or livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to his kind." And it was so. Isaiah 40:11-12. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust in the earth in a basket? or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in the balance. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes the grass grow on the hills. And the last one I'd like to go over is mankind. And I have a video for this that is pretty phenomenal. Isn't it amazing, though, to watch the development of a baby? Anybody that can watch that video or have any idea about that and tell me that God did not create us, they got a heart of stone. Because to watch that just totally amazed me. I want to read the commentary out of the Application Study Bible on Genesis chapter 1. This is part of it, but it sums up pretty good. The simple statement that God created the heavens and the earth is one of the most challenging concepts confronting the modern mind. The vast galaxy we live in is spinning at an incredible speed of 490,000 miles per hour. That's 490,000 miles per hour. But even at this breakneck speed, our galaxy still needs 200 million years to rotate. That's according to scientists. So, and there are over 1 billion other galaxies in the universe. Yet this complex sea of spinning stars function with a remarkable order and efficiency. God did not need to create the universe. He chose to create it. Why? Because God is love. And love is best expressed towards something or someone else. So God created the world and the people as an expression of his love. Remember that God created the universe because he loves us. The key verse for my sermon is Hebrews 1:3. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So I did some translation and looked up and as far as the original text and stuff, and I'm going to use an analogy that Pastor Gray uses, that when it says sustaining all things by his powerful word, the translation means sustaining all things by his powerful word. And then I looked up in the Aramaic Bible in plain English, and it says upholds all things by the power of his word. And it continues to do that on all the rest of them that I looked at. So basically it means that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are sustaining everything by the mighty power of his command. That he is all things. He sustains all things. God has created everything from nothing by the power of his word. In Genesis 1:1 it says, around 8 times I believe, and God said, and then it was created. And then God said, you know, the universe. God said the earth. God said light. God said, and it was created from nothing. The thing that got me when I was holding story, almost said Sierra, is I wanted to go, the Lord laid in my heart, that our total reliance upon him and his sustaining us goes beyond just our basic needs. He is literally holding everything together. Scientists say that the universe is expanding. It's getting bigger. That he is holding everything together from the farthest reaches of the universe and beyond to our very own being. He is upholding us. He cares about the universe as a whole, but he also cares about each and every one of us as his creation. We are not insignificant to God. Again, I want to read Isaiah 40:11-12. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket? That's a pretty big basket. Yeah. Or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in the balance? He maintains us physically. Like to flesh this out a little bit. God literally sustains our physical, mental, and spiritual being. Our physical being, which is Psalm 139, 13 and 14. For you created my innermost being to knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Isaiah 46, 4. Even at your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you and have made you and will carry you. I will sustain you and rescue you. It's amazing that one of the verses was, God is our refuge. We sung today. So he literally is holding us together. I'm really trying to drive that the literal part is that without God, we would not exist because he created Adam and Eve, but we would not exist personally, literally. So physically, within our universe, our earth, and our bodies, he sustains us. Mentally, excuse me. So our mental being, I'd like to read Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanks, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God sustains our minds, literally. The last thing is our spiritual being. John 3:16. I had to get this in the sermon somehow. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Psalm 73:23 through 26. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by your right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And after your words, you will take me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength. God is the strength of my heart and portion forever. God has provided salvation. Literally. When, this is just a little personal experience about this whole sermon thing. At first, I was really excited, and I still am. I still have been all along. I was really excited about the privilege to be able to speak to you folks. But then, that was in December. Beginning of January, in doing this, God had to take me through a pride break. A pride break of self-sufficiency. When I was preparing for this, the first thing that hit me was, I totally was insufficient to deliver this sermon. I had no right. I had no ability. I wrote something else that was totally wasn't this. I had to go through that step first and realize that I needed to be totally reliant upon God for this sermon. Then I basically sat down and wrote, I think I went through about 4 different versions of this thing before I got down to where I'm at now. And I can honestly say probably, I won't say the first time in my life, but it, fully intentionally, I had this thing done like 2 weeks ago because I did not want to procrastinate and have for the last thing. And it's been bathed in prayer. It's been bathed in prayer and allowing God to reveal to me, what God has revealed to me from what I can understand of how much we need him, how much we rely upon him. We don't even know it. You came in and sat down in these chairs. Did you think, is this chair going to hold me up? I just plunk in it, and I'm 300 pounds, you know? Well, it's the same thing with God. We get up in the morning. That's a blessing from God. You see your loved ones, meet your friends, your family, the church body. That's from God. And we rely on that, and we don't even know it. That last line was from my son. Psalms 33:20. We wait upon the Lord, and he is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we must trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Another song we sung about today is putting our hope in God. It is a trustworthy hope. I'll leave it at that. We cast our cares on you, Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. So when you are facing trials, think back of what God has brought you already through. Think back of times when, it was hard and you wasn't sure if things were going to work out right. Trust the Lord, because you already do. And you don't even know it. Or we don't even know it. So when stepping out in service, God will sustain you and equip you. And that's one thing I really want to encourage everybody to do. Is God has given all of us a purpose, because he's created us all. So we all have a given purpose and a design. And I want to encourage you. If you don't know what he wants you to do for his honor and his glory, ask him. He'll show it to you. But be faithful and step out in that. Will he stretch you? I'll guarantee it. I'm up here. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. He will never hurt you. He always has his best in plan for you and all of us. So when witnessing, the Holy Spirit will give you strength to share your heart. And that's the best thing to do, is to share your heart what God has done to unsaved loved ones and people at work and so forth that you come in contact with. When he gives you the opportunity, just share your heart, and the Holy Spirit will guide you for that and give you the strength to do that. So when things are going well, praise the Lord, first of all, but continue to trust in him and not on ourselves. Get rid of that pride of self-sufficiency. Trust in the Lord. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Since God is the source that exists, and human beings and nature are not self-existent, we owe our ability to live and exist to him. Then all life in creation has an eternal meaning and purpose. So trust the Lord. You are already totally reliant upon him. Think about it. Thank you.
And as you were preaching, a scripture came to mind. The Apostle Paul, we all know Paul was a very self-sufficient individual. He came to know Christ, and God had to break him of that self-sufficiency to teach him to trust in Christ and Christ alone, not just for salvation, but for all of life. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this: such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent or sufficient in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our sufficiency comes from God. He has made us sufficient and competent. And in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, Paul said, we don't want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. So, Lord, thank you for a word that reminds us of our dependency upon you. If for one moment you would take your gaze off us, we're gone. The very atoms of our body are held together, not just by electrical forces and all these things that scientists say. It's ultimately all of life is held together by you. And so we pray that as this word came forth, it would find a place in our hearts, be deposited, and be able to produce fruit, not of self-reliance, but Christ's sufficiency. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.